Again, good morning.
Good morning.
Let's just work on that a little bit for Brian next week. Good to have all of you this morning. Doug, thanks for the challenging Sunday school class. Vance, thanks for leading our singing today. Don't want to overlook Neil back there. Thanks for the announcements and the prayer. Mark, thanks for the Lord's Supper and the giving. Dwayne, thanks for that reading from God's holy and precious and inspired word. And thanks to all of you for coming. And I'll thank you for the prayers you offered on behalf of Brian. That was a lot of speaking yesterday, wasn't it? And so I told him, we'll make sure everything's covered this morning and this afternoon after we've stuffed ourselves. But thanks for being here. I want us to mainly emphasize just one thing this morning. Vance must have been reading my mind because speak, Lord, for your servant hears. And I like the song there, all the nations need to hear the voice of God. So this morning, we're just going to look at one chapter in the Old Testament. First of all, let me ask, what do you remember about 1 Samuel chapter 3. What do you remember about Eli and Samuel from the book of Samuel? And I'm going to assume you're very familiar with the story of Hannah in 1 Samuel chapters 1 and 2. I'm still impressed. Ladies, would you give a son to the Lord? She did. And how did God use Samuel in the service of the Lord? So we won't have time this morning, but if you haven't looked at the life of Samuel in a while, it might be very interesting how God used him in the life of his people at that time. Now, I generally remember that, well, Samuel was the prophet, that he was also involved in the reigns of Saul and David. And, of course, the book emphasizes many other things. Now, Brian emphasized last week the book. I still like to read the book through each year, old and new. Let me share with you a verse that, well, I've read it many times, but it really gripped me. I think you can identify with the expression. It was almost like it leaped off the page. Now, think of the time between Samuel, and I'm going to read from Jeremiah. Jeremiah chapter 15 and verse 1. Then the Lord said to me, can you picture God saying to Jeremiah, even if Moses, not surprised, are you? But then he adds, and Samuel stood before me, my mind would not be favorable toward this people. Cast them out of my sight. And I like the comment in the class about the Old Testament. God said, these nations need to be cast out because of their sin. And let them go forth. Moses and Samuel, that's what God thought about them. Sinless? No. They were not perfect. We know that, particularly Moses. But Samuel wasn't either. Did they both need Jesus Christ? Yes, they did. Doesn't the book talk about what Jesus did at Calvary? It went backward and then for us forward. Did Moses and Samuel need Jesus Christ? Now, let's turn, and our lesson will be based on one chapter from the Old Testament. 1 Samuel chapter 3. And I'm using the New King James Version. And so we read the chapter. I'll point out some of the things that really impressed me. Look at 1 Samuel chapter 3 and verse 1. Now the boy Samuel ministered to the Lord before Eli. Now, Eli is an older man. And our emphasis is going to be on the boy, Samuel. He's real young. And then the rest of the verse simply says, and the word of the Lord was rare in those days. There was no widespread revelation. You mean the word, the revelation was rare to Eli? And our emphasis this morning is going to be, God's going to speak to Samuel. Let's continue the reading. And it came to pass at that time, it's 1 Samuel chapter 3, while Eli was lying down in his place, and when his eyes had begun to grow so dim that he could not see. Now, I just mainly have my glasses on. Ladies, see how beautiful you are. We have a lot of beautiful women in the audience, don't we? And then I like to look out and see how handsome a lot of the men are. We have some real handsome men, don't we? Here at Sanford. So I can relate to Eli. I just mainly need the glasses to see you and to read. I don't need them to see to drive or to watch TV. But can you picture? Now, if you do the research, you'll find out Eli was really old. And he can't see. My problem is I can't hear. But his was he couldn't see. Now, what do we find in the chapter? God will call Samuel. God will speak to Samuel. The message of God will be about the house of Eli, what God's going to do. No ifs, ands, buts, or wherefores. He has the ability. He has the power. There's his word. He's going to do what he said. Now, we'll note later, Samuel didn't want to share that with Eli, did he? I probably would have been nervous too. And then we'll use it later. Samuel's going to be a prophet of God. Israel knows that's God's man. That's God's prophet. And And it came to pass at that time, while Eli was lying down in his place. Did you get some more sleep last night? I won't ask for a show of hands. We lose some in the spring. We're supposed to get it back in the fall. But just think about it. For us, that was rather significant, wasn't it? Time changed. Now, I like the extra daylight. We're going to have to get used to the darkness, aren't we? Now, Eli's in his place. Samuel's in his place. What's going to happen? Was that a night that Eli never forgot? Well, especially was that a night that Samuel never forgot. Now remember, he's a boy. And when his eyes had begun to grow so dim that he could not see, and before the lamp of God went out in the tabernacle of the Lord, where the ark of God was. And while Samuel was lying down, I've often wondered how long it would take God to say something before he'd have my attention. We're going to read, or it took three times for Eli, didn't it? And the Lord called Samuel, and he answered, "Here I am." The Lord calls you. He calls me. How would we react? We continue the reading. 1 Samuel chapter 3. So he ran to Eli and said, "Here I am, for you called me." And he said, I'm going to have to turn the page. "I did not call. Lie down again." And he went and lay down. Then the Lord called yet again, "Samuel." So Samuel arose and went to Eli and said, "Here I am, for you called me." He answered, "I did not call, my son. Lie down again." Now, I'm glad verse 7's there, aren't you? Now, Samuel did not yet know the Lord, nor was the word of the Lord yet revealed to him. That's vital information, isn't it? Now, we're ready for verse 8. And the Lord called Samuel again. First time? No, my Bible says the third time. So he arose and went to Eli and said, "Here I am, for you did call me." Now, how do you suppose Eli was reacting to Samuel? And I like the last part of verse 8. Then Eli, this is the third time, perceived that the Lord had called the boy. God's calling the boy Samuel. The Lord's calling the boy Samuel. I haven't been calling him. Verse 9. Therefore Eli said to Samuel, "Go lie down, and it shall be, if he calls you, that you must say." Now, what would I have told Samuel? Now, the text is going to share with us what Eli told Samuel. That you must say, "Speak, Lord, Speak, Master, for your servant hears. So Samuel went and lay down in his place. God's not going to give up, though, is he? Now the Lord came and stood and called as at other times, Samuel, Samuel. And Samuel answered, speak, for your servant hears. Lord, you have the right to speak. I'm just your servant. But I need to hear what you have to say. I need to listen to it. I need to accept it. I need, and I like the invitation song, trust and obey. I'll trust in it. And I will believe enough, I'll obey. And I like the thought in class, trust and obey, even if it means you have to die for it. Oh. So. Now, what's God going to say to Samuel? Then the Lord said to Samuel, behold, I will do something in Israel. I can do something in Israel, at which both ears of everyone who hears it will tingle. Samuel, you can't do it, but I can. And the ears of the people will tingle. Look what the Lord did. In that day, I will perform against Eli all that I have spoken concerning his house from beginning to end. I've already shared what I'm going to do, and I am going to do it. For I have told him. Wonder if Eli liked to hear it. That I will judge his house forever. For the iniquity which he knows. Now we've already noted, was Eli sinless? Was he perfect? No. Did Eli need what Jesus would do at Calvary? Yes, indeed. With a big exclamation point. And then as I continue reading verse 13, and I'm looking at the clock in the foyer. That's the authority rather than my wristwatch. Because his sons made themselves vile. I wasn't pleased with the sons of Eli. And I've already told him what I think and what I'm going to say and what I'm going to do. And he did not restrain them. Should have. But he didn't. And so God simply said, I didn't like that. I'm going to hold you accountable for that. There are going to be consequences. And therefore I have sworn to the house of Eli that the iniquity of Eli's house shall not be atoned for by sacrifice or offering forever. I don't care really what Eli thinks, says, or does. I've already determined what needs to come to pass. So Samuel lay down until morning, and open the doors of the house of the Lord. Now remember, he's just a boy. And Samuel was afraid to tell Eli the vision. I can identify with that. I really would have been nervous and afraid. Then Eli called Samuel and said, "Samuel, my son." He answered, "Here I am." And he said, "What is the word that the Lord spoke to you? Please do not hide it from me. God do so to you and more also, if you hide anything from me of all the things that he said to you." Then Samuel told him everything and hid nothing from him. And he said, "It is the Lord. Let him do what seems good to him." Now that's what Eli said. Now remember, the Lord didn't like the way his sons had behaved. And he didn't say, "Well, sons, that's not right." He didn't restrain them. But what the Lord wants, that's what I want. Now, we'll stop the reading there. I like to think about something. What does the Old Testament say? What does the New Testament say? So let's read the rest of 1 Samuel 3. This will be the Old Testament. There'll be more information in other texts. So Samuel grew. At the very beginning of the chapter, he's a boy, a young boy. When did Hannah give him as a gift to the Lord? After she'd weaned him. Can you picture Samuel growing? And I like the thought in the class, we need to grow spiritually, don't we? And my thought was, that includes, and I am disappointed we don't have elders, but they need to grow. You mean they can become better? Yes. They need to grow and develop like everyone in the congregation. Now, careful, we might think, well, they have it made when they're appointed. No. So I want to check that out. And the Lord was with him. And let none of his words fall to the ground. And all Israel from Dan to Beersheba, it'd be from the north to the south, knew that Samuel had been established as a prophet of the Lord. Then the Lord appeared again in Shiloh, for the Lord revealed himself to Samuel in Shiloh by the word of the Lord. There's an Old Testament reading. Let's go now to the, and Dwayne, I appreciate you reading the text. Let's go back to Acts chapter 3. And let's look again at the reading. I'm in chapter 6, so that's not going to help, is it? But let's go to chapter 3 and read the last. Now, this is the Apostle Peter sharing some information with God's people. Yes, and all the prophets from Samuel and those who follow as many as have spoken have also foretold these things. They've announced these things. They proclaim these things about the coming of the Messiah. And then what did Peter say? You are sons of the prophets. Samuel was one of the prophets. And of the covenant which God made with our father, saying to Abraham, and in your seed, Abraham's seed, all the families of the earth shall be blessed. Does that include every family here in the audience this morning? Our daughter recently took us back to New London, Connecticut. That was rather awesome to visit the cemetery. There's some of your relatives. So, does that include the Darrow family? My grandmother's side, they were of German descent. Did that include the Weber or the Weaver family? You realize a lot of the families changed their name when they came from the old country to the new country. On my mother's side, did that include the Renault and Upchurch families? And in your seed, all the families of the earth shall be blessed. It doesn't say some, it says all. And then I liked verse 26. To you first, God, having raised up his servant Jesus, sent him to bless you, in turning away every one of you from your iniquities. Still blows my mind. Jesus left heaven, lived on earth, and died for you and me. Did Jesus come to curse us? To condemn us? Say, oh, that's good enough for you. Go to hell. Or did he come to bless us, to help us? With his eye, do you really be, it's going to hurt me if you don't go to heaven. It really is. That's where I want you to be. So, now, I've thought a lot about this text. Speak, Lord, for your servant hears. What did God want for Samuel? He wanted him to have the right attitude toward the supreme being. He wanted Samuel to view himself as just a servant. That's really what we are. And I was impressed. Jesus, in our text that Dwayne read, was pictured as a servant. Now, there are other pictures in the New. But think of it. God wanted Samuel to be a servant. He wanted his son to be a servant. What kind of a servant? Speak, Lord, for your servant hears. Now, for Samuel, that would have been the law of Moses and the prophets. God wanted him to hear Moses and the prophets. Now, what about me? What about you? The principle doesn't change, does it? Now, the application changes. What does God want for me? That I still reverently say, speak, Lord. You're the Lord. And does he still want me to say, I'm a humble servant? You're the Lord, not me. I'm going to hear what you want. I may not understand it all, but if you say it's right, then I say it's right. If you say it's wrong, I say it's wrong. Now, we need to change it now, don't we? I'm to hear Jesus. And at first I had Jesus and the apostles. Then it dawned on me, if Samuel was to hear Moses and the prophets, I'm to hear Jesus and the prophets. Now, I'm not going to take time to share, but there were prophets in the New Testament. And they're named. Is that what God wants? Speak, Lord. And I, your humble servant, I'm still working on that, will hear what you want. I like the song, Trust and Obey. I not only hear, I'll trust it. I'll obey it. Now, I like the spring meeting. I told Brian, I found it very challenging and interesting. And I would even add another word, I found it very refreshing. That included everything, attire, songs, etc., lessons. I agreed 100% with every thought. What's our mission? To encourage someone to become a Christian. Be ready for the judgment. Now I said ready, didn't I? And go to heaven. Where does the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit want us? In heaven or hell? Where do we want our friends and neighbors and relatives? In heaven? So I like that. That's our mission. And I was listening. Very soon we're going to be talking about the budget for next year. Why do we have a budget? Encourage people to become a Christian. Be ready for the judgment. Go to heaven. Clock in the foyer says 11:20 something. So we're still going to have three more songs and a closing prayer. But I can't think of a better application. I'm sure in Garner, our brethren wanted a lot of responses, didn't they? At the Cleveland congregation. And wouldn't it be thrilling to us to know that through the efforts of Brian and the brethren there, there are more people now that are following Jesus, that want to be ready for the judgment, that want to go to heaven? I think Brian would jump up and down if while he was gone, some responded to Jesus. I'm now a follower of Jesus. I want to be ready for the judgment. I want to go to heaven. That's challenging, isn't it? Follower of Jesus. A real follower of Jesus. You know where we live in Pittsburgh. We've been there long enough now that a lot have passed on or they're in another facility because they couldn't stay alone by themselves. Several have passed on. What was my reaction? Were they ready? Were they prepared? And I'm still thinking about the next question. What did I do to help them be ready? Prepared. Go to heaven. I go just go to the cemetery or another rehab facility. So, my point is, I can't think of anything better than this first Sunday in November of the year that'll soon be gone, and we're already thinking about 23, aren't we? I'm still having difficulty with 20 and 21, let alone 22. If you're not a Christian, you need to become one. If you're not ready to meet God in judgment, you can be. The good news is you can go to heaven now. The only way I'll ever make heaven is because of the grace of God. Blood of Jesus. And Mark, I really appreciated the emphasis on what Jesus did for us. The only way I'll ever make it is I tried. Like Eli, sometimes I fell on my face, didn't I? But the Spirit-given word. I can't stand there and say, well, Lord, you have to let me in. I earned it. I deserve it. I merited it. No. All I'll be able to do is humbly bow my head and say, remember your grace? Remember what Jesus did? Remember what the Spirit guided the writers to say. So, I'm going to have a hymn of encouragement. And Vance, thanks for leading the singing. Oh, I'd like a little better hymn of encouragement. I'm not going to argue with you if it's an invitation song. Why are we going to sing it? To encourage you to think about giving your life to Jesus. Being ready for the judgment. And going to heaven. So think about it. What do you want today? What would you like to do today? Don't wait until this afternoon. Now, we'll be real full because some of the good ladies, well, some of the men also, are good cooks, aren't they? But don't wait this afternoon when we sing and open the book again. Do it now. So would you like to come? Well, we ask you to stand. Vance leads.